name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today's the first month, the first day in the year 2023. Blessed and, what do you call it, happy? Yeah, and happy new year to all the Catholics and men of goodwill, all 10 of them. So anyway, but the first thing we're celebrating is not the new year, it's the circumcision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Christ is truly born and circumcised.
Hallelujah.
And don't let the Jews lie to you. Christ is truly born and circumcised. And he's not an apostle like these bastards tell you. Now, they admit to his historical reality. They know he existed. So what they're really saying is he's a fraud, he's a liar, he's a kook, he's a nut, or whatever you want to say, if you don't believe he's the Messiah, because that's precisely what he said he was. It's precisely what he fulfilled when he rose from the dead, and all the miracles he performed, and all the church that he founded. I mean, you've got to deny all of that. So watch out for the Jews, too, when they come around and say, Jesus existed, he was a nice guy, but he wasn't a Messiah. But he couldn't be a nice guy. He had to be an idiot, a liar, a deceiver, or insane. The Jew does that to fool you, because he doesn't want to go outwardly against Christ, because he knows he'll get you angry. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's on the Jew thing. What were you saying before that, too? On the Jew thing? Oh,
no.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I can do a lecture on that, maybe. I'll wait.
Oh, there. No, you were talking about
the equal equality, right?
Yeah.
I'll just give you a brief on it. Yeah. When they got equal rights, which is the main thing they were shooting for, equal to all other people, with these stupid dummies, the nominal Catholics and other idiots didn't realize that when you put the Jews in equal power to you, they have a scheming, dirty, filthy, lying, cheating mind and heart that beyond anything anyone else can conceive. So when they came to power, they had the power then to implement all these conniving, lying, like Hitler said, no one would believe they would do this, so they didn't think what was happening then was happening. Because they were lying to them, they were deceiving them, pretending they'd like, in the background they're stabbing you, usury, they're robbing from you, they're stealing from you, they're instituting the laws that are to your harm, forming the Freemason Galatians, and they're doing it with the rights of the nation, equal rights, to send to the highest powers. They came to power, of course, though, by money, too. And they would have never came to power if the nominal Catholics and the bad Catholics didn't take money from them at usury rate. You just don't do usury with your brothers. They were smart, you have to say it.
Yeah, they
these bastards, you know, they were smart. I mean, they went out and said, let these stupid, you know, like a good movie to watch is The Merchant of Venice. It's perfect. Perfect. Absolutely perfect. When that one guy took the money from the Jew, and the Jews go, oh, Father Abraham, these Christians, they talk against Jews, and here he is tasking money from me. So now you need me. You want me to give you some money. Then the guy goes, oh, if you're going to make me grab him, I don't want you. No, I'll give you the money. And it was a great, great, great movie. But it shows you, here's this guy asking for usury money from the Jew. Philip II, the apostate, idolatrous, the bastard,
yeah.
He borrowed money to build his fleet to invade England from the Jew at usury rate. It's a weapon. That's how they controlled and gained all the land.
That was one Jew that didn't win in court, though.
Yeah, that was a good one. That movie was great. We cut out all the stupid. There was a whole half of that movie that was just goofy. And so, thank God for we can censor and edit stuff. So we got out the goofy stuff, and we kept in the good stuff. It was really good. And the ending was great. I mean, you know, but at the same time, you know, you can sit back and say, look at the Jew did this, the Jew did that. Well, according to the Jew religion, he wasn't sinning. Because we can even lend usury to the Jew. We're the ones that were taking the money from the guy. We're the one who's borrowing from the guy. I mean, okay, so God let the Jew punish us. You went to the evildoer. So, but, you know, like everything I own here, we pay in cash. I have no mortgage payments, only under a credit card. You can have a credit card, I'm not against that. Pay it off every month. Sometimes you can't help it, and you have to pay a mortgage, so that's our punishment for being in captivity. But everything I bought here on this property, and everything at my house, everything here, cash. Money up front, no mortgage, no interest rates. The brothers that live here, they don't even pay rent on my property. They just pay tithes. Who's ever living on the properties? They just pay tithes, and the tithes take care of it. And then God gives us more than what we need. And we're not in hock. We buy cars we can afford. We don't have to take a mortgage out on. We're talking about the other day, some of these new cars are like $40,000, $50,000. And when you buy a new $40,000, $50,000, sometimes you do need a new car. I'm not against it. If you have the money, fine. But so $40,000, but the insurance too. No, but if you don't, like if you want to save, I get a used car for like $500 It lasts you for like 10, 15 years, and it costs you like only like $120 a year for insurance. You buy a $40,000 car, you're paying $100 a month for insurance. It, all this adds up, you know. I still go from point A to Z, and the car I got was good on gas. But you do need a good car, like the sisters here have a nice car for. We do long distance traveling. Okay, now, okay, who's online again? You said that was TJ. That was a good recap on the football game. I didn't know they had those. Because see, you got to get like cable. Yes, we had to do a special thing to get that game. The Jews always behind. Capitalism is more evil than communism. I say that a million times. It really is. Always trying to get something from you. These games used to be on a regular TV stations that were for free. Now you got to go to ESPN. You have to have cable, or you got to get a Roku box like we got, and we got a free 7-day trial so we can watch these two games. But it used to be on regular TV. And so anyway, the recap that TJ was looking at, I didn't know they had those. It was really great. It encapsulated the game within like about 11 or minutes or 15 minutes. They encapsulate the whole game. But those were the semifinals for the college playoffs. And the final is next second weekday. And that's going to be the final, the best two college teams. You know. And you notice the fans, I mean, college football is more popular than pro football.
Yeah.
The spirit of the fans is amazing. Amazing. It's like soccer. I mean, each stadium gets filled up. You're like 100,000 people there in that one stadium. I mean, you know, when you look at the soccer stadium, too, they fill up. So, you know, what do I think about when I see, like, they say, oh, we got, like, 70,000 or we have 100,000 people in the stand during this game. And you look at these masses of people. You know what I think about? I told the brothers the other night. So they know it already. If they guess it, boy, you're pretty good. If you guess what I think about when I see those 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Nobody can get it. Go ahead.
General Dolly.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too, yeah. Yeah, and that's one thing. That's a good one. But what I think of is when they used to go to war in the arena. That could be 100,000 people against 70,000 people. It's like taking one stadium of people, Penn State fans, against Ohio State fans, another 100,000 people, empty out those stadiums and let them run at one another. I mean, all of bing, bang, boom, ba, bing, bang. Yeah, you get this. So it's 35,000 died, 80,000 died, and the bloody bodies all over the place. I mean, that's when war was war, and you knew that it was what it was. I mean, it was like, cause when you read a Bible, you read that all the time. Now we drop bombs, it's kind of sterile. So you're not face-to-face with your gun.
I just thought of this. They never had to have ammunition.
They had swords, they had knives,
they had,
and it was mostly hand-to-hand combat. So they had like arrows and spears later on, but I mean, you could imagine what kind of battles they had back then. I was reading about Maccabees, like Brother TJ said, what a great book. What heroic people. You know, I'm up to Simon now, and I read the Maccabees many times, but Matthias, his father, died for the cause. Judas died for the cause. John died for the cause. Jonathan, now we're up to Simon. And Simon, what happened with Simon, Jonathan was really bad. The guy was sneaky. He wanted to make a peace pact, and he lied. And so Jonathan first knew he was going to, didn't trust him, so he went with the big army. And then he met the guy, and they were like blood related because through marriages or whatever. And it was Tryphon from the Assyrian, I think, the Greek Syrian or empire or something. A Greek, the Seleucid Empire. And he said, why did you bring this big army? We're friends for a peace pact. Oh, okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to give you all these favors. And he said, send back most of you. Just keep about 1,000 guys. So he only kept a few guys, and then he entered in. They went in and into the castle of the guy, and then he locked the castle, and he took them all hostage. And then he said to Simon, his brother now had to take over because Jonathan's locked up, and he says, who am I to not take over and fight for the cause? He says, all my brothers died for Israel, for the holy laws of God, to revenge those who've attacked God's law and God's temple, to purify us. So he says, who am I not to sacrifice my life and fight as my brothers fought? So he goes to fight, and then the guy Tryphon says, look, if you give me 100,000 pieces of silver, I'll let Jonathan and his sons or whatever, God, I'll let them go. And then Simon knew he was lying. But if you read, and Simon said, I know he's lying, but if I don't give the money, my own people are going to say, why didn't you give the money if something happens? You know, they die. If you would have given the money, now they're dead, and you didn't give the money. So he gave the money knowing that they weren't going to listen. because he feared his own people were going to say, why don't you at least try? So he gave the guy the money. The guy took the money and didn't give back Jonathan and his sons. And then he killed them, Besor, because now Simon's chasing after this guy. And so the guy kills, and he ended up killing Jonathan, his son. But the point is, here's these holy guys that die for the faith, stood up for the law. I mean, people aren't even willing to lose their cars, their homes, their jobs, or their family members, or they get sneered at a little bit, and they're afraid. Look at the Maccabees, man. What a story that is. And that's when they were trying to Hellenize Judaism back then. And most of the Jews went along with it. It was the Hellenization of Judaism. So that's a little history on that. Now, okay, now we are going to talk about something, but nothing up for a lecture, but we'll do that after Mass prayers. But let me get into the announcements now. So today is the circumcision of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And of course, I think they say, it's 8 days after he was born. And imagine the high priest, or the, they might have been probably the high priest, or whoever circumcised Jesus. What a thing that would have been, you know? And you didn't need to go to the temple for circumcision, so you'd be circumcised wherever you are. Probably, he was circumcised in Bethlehem. 40 days later, he went to the temple to present the presentation, which we're celebrating. Everything's going in order now with this new calendar we have. Everything's in order. Now, this week is extremely holy. Really, Christmas is 2 weeks. This is an extremely holy week. Try to do as much as you could to treat it as holy as possible. I know some of you got to work, but these 2 weeks are very joyous and holy. So today's the circumcision. Now tomorrow we have the most holy name of Jesus, in honor of the name that they gave Jesus when he was circumcised. And I remember, like the angel told Mary, didn't she say they shall call his name Jesus? Emmanuel, God with us, I think, and Jesus, the Savior. Imagine that Yanuka guy trying to copy all of this. I was talking to the brothers the other day. Here's another little thing. I'll just mention it, though. It's worth mentioning. You're copying everything Jesus did because you believe that that's signs of the Messiah.
Yeah.
So wasn't he the Messiah?
Yeah.
So why do you want another one?
Yeah.
Why you got to copy him? You know why? Because we were talking about the other day. They didn't believe in everything. They didn't believe he was God. And the other thing we said, there's another thing they didn't believe.
They wanted the temple kingdom.
Yeah. Right away.
Yeah.
Exactly right. Those two things. And so they didn't believe that God could become a man, and they wanted the temple kingdom right away. Even the apostles did, but they conceded. Right. They understood later on. We rose from the dead. So, okay, so those are the two things they're not going to match. So you know what they're going to say, though? He was the imposter. He was trying to imitate. Our guy's going to be the one who really fulfills it. And no, he's not God. And also, he's going to bring the temple kingdom. So anyway.
They already have the temple kingdom.
They already have the world. They're going to have the temple kingdom. Good word for temporal. It's not going to be everlasting. But they did believe they wanted the temple everlasting kingdom on earth, which Christ is going to bring. But when this guy comes to power, that's what he's promising them. All right, anyway. Okay, so the holy name of Jesus is tomorrow, second weekday. The third weekday is a Furial Day. The fourth weekday is the presentation of Jesus Christ and the purification of Mary, also called Candlemas Day. And we bless the candles on that. We usually bless our candles on that day, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, the holy hour is transferred this week because the sixth weekday is a holy day of obligation. It's Epiphany of our Lord. Now, the Epiphany is a holy day of obligation, as you can see on the calendar, a very big day because for the Gentiles, that's when God, that represents all the non-Jews that converted, because when Christ went to the Jews first, then he went to the Gentiles. So Epiphany Day, when I was in New Jersey, the Puerto Ricans, that their Epiphany Day was bigger than Christmas. That was like their Christmas Day, the Gentiles, for them. Because what they're saying is that's when Christ came to us. And that's when it represents when the wise men, because first the shepherds, and Christ is born. Later on, the wise men came and they adored Christ. So, and it had to happen sometime after the purification and presentation in the temple. And how do we know that the wise men had to visit the Holy Infant Jesus and adore him sometime after the presentation purification. No, not good, because what happened right after the Epiphany, right after the Epiphany when the wise men were there and adored Christ?
Holy Innocents.
Holy Innocents. Oh, yeah.
And then what else happened? Where did Jesus, the Holy Family, go?
Egypt.
Yeah. They're going to go to Egypt and then come back to the presentation? Yeah. That's the way the old calendar had it. Yeah. Old calendar was wacky. Yeah. So what, they're going to go to Egypt and come all the way back to the temple for the presentation and go back to Egypt again?
Yeah.
Yeah, the old calendar was all messed up. You know why it was messed up? Because they're pseudo-intellectuals, which are scholastic bullcrap. That's what Aristotle and Plato gave them, a retarded brain, a Rain Man type of a thing.
Don't tell that to the rat man. No.
Don't tell that to the rat man. That was providential that God had that call come to me on EWTN.
Yeah.
Ratman lamented the de-Hellenization of Christianity. Yeah. The de-Hellenization. It was the Greek and Roman thought that perfected our faith. I'll say it. My anger cannot be expressed in words. I said that real calm now, right? Because I can't. That's it to me. I mean, what more do you need to say? You know what you're saying? The Holy Spirit is stupid. The first 1,000 years, Christ is stupid. Christ did not teach us as good as Aristotle and Plato when he was on earth. And the apostles for 1,000 years. And then if you admit that the Holy Spirit teaches infallibly through the popes, then the Holy Spirit's stupid. Yeah. The Holy Spirit needed Aristotle and Plato. That's what they say. Yeah. That filthy, sniveling, dirty, rat, bastard, piece of crap, burning forever, now. Yeah. And God put him right here.
Yeah.
Right now. He just heard me. I know it.
Yeah.
I have faith. I believe God put him right here so he can listen to me. What do you think now, you little sniveling piece of shit? You're the one that's going to burn in boiling hot excrement.
Yeah.
You're where you belong with your scholastic buddies. Like that one guy said, remember that 30 says they talk about philosophy and all that? Who's that one heretic? It was like
the apostate Vincent Furr.
The piece of shit apostate that he was. He says, he believed unbaptized babies are happy and ready to God. They live in the third middle place and they talk philosophy. Yeah. Philosophy!
Yeah.
That's like trying to solve a puzzle where there's no solution.
Yeah.
And your head's going nuts and the pieces don't fit. And your whole life you're trying to put the pieces together and they don't fit. Always end up giving some of a lecture anyway. That's how angry I get. They were mentioned until he passed away in the feast day. Didn't he? Was it St. Sylvester? A great pope and then an evil. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, Sylvester probably said, kill him now. And maybe God allowed Pope St. Sylvester I to kick his ass into hell.
Yeah.
A true pope. Yeah. A holy pope. Yeah. So anyway, so you understand on that what goes on there with the Epiphany. And now, the fifth week, which I skipped, we have the fourth week is the purification and presentation purification. The fifth week is St. Telephorus, Pope and Martyr, and we're going to have the holy hour on the fifth weekday. We transferred it. Because the sixth weekday is a holy day of obligation. It's an Epiphany day. The seventh weekday is the feast day of the Holy Innocents. And again, because Epiphany, Holy Innocents, they had everything backwards.
Yeah.
If you look at the original calendar. And it was disrespectful because right after Christmas, they had St. Stephen and St. John. Now, St. Stephen and St. John are great, but I don't want them to usurp the glory of our Lord, his birth. So he gets those 7 days, 3 days at least, and then we start commemorating saints after that. Now, and it's also, it's the Vigil of the Epiphany also on the fifth weekday. Now, the seventh weekday, I said, is the Holy Innocents, and it's the exorcism prayer. So we got a very busy week this week. Very busy week. Now, what I'm thinking, because we're coming out so often, instead of coming out on the presentation, when I come out on the fifth weekday to do the holy hour, when all the brothers and inquirers are going to be online, I can bless the candles then. It'll be a day late and not a dollar short. It'll be a day late, but at least we can do it when everyone's going to. I don't want to be on every day in a row. So you got to start figuring this out, because we're definitely going to be coming together on the fourth weekday. Because that's Epiphany. That's a big day.
Right.
That's a Christmas day, like I said, for the Gentiles, the non-Jewish believers.
was the 56th?
Sixth week day. Okay, it's the sixth. It's the sixth day and the sixth week day.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So we're, that's a holy day of obligation. And then we're coming together on the seventh day for the exorcism. So on a fifth week day for us here, this is for us here, we'll be coming together for the holy hour, and we're going to bless the candles, which, but do the presentation at home on your own. And then on, we're going to have the holy day, just like a regular holy day, on Epiphany. Now, on Epiphany, do we need to, go ahead.
There's a, is there a procession on that, when we bless the candles? The...
Is there a procession? No, is, isn't there? Is there a procession, though, or is that, I think there
is. I thought we did.
I think we do.
I think we did usually.
Yeah. Yeah, we do a procession. Anybody who can make it online, you know, we have the mass prayers, and there is a procession. We do do a procession. Yeah. We, remember the wind always blows in. Yeah, so we do a procession on Epiphany Day, too, which is also called... No, wait, no, that's Condo Mass Day, and we're not going to be here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I didn't know if you wanted to do it on the day.
When well, that's a little, that's a lot. Okay. Only because so much is...
I know what you mean.
That's a little lot.
Okay.
That's a little lot. Does that make sense? It's not a lot, a lot. It's a little lot, a lot, a lot, a little lot, a lot, a lot. Because if you come today 4 days in a row, it's like a marathon, you know? It's like a physical marathon. Yeah. People start getting sick. You get tired. You're drawn out. By the third or fourth, you're like this. And you don't want, you can wear yourself down. Yeah, you're right. Epiphany's not, there's no procession on Epiphany Day. Yeah. Now, the question on Epiphany for us, well, of course, we'll come to, at night, should we have? Should we eat together that day, or should we eat on our own, or should we eat together, or on our own?
On Epiphany.
On Epiphany. Yeah, because it's a big day. Okay. So.
Yeah, it's like a.
Yeah, yeah.
Christmas.
It's like Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not a
Passover. It's a Gentile Christmas.
Exactly.
Look, you know how God drew the holy men to the stable. Something that, what I'm going to talk about later relates to that. Okay, so anyway, anybody got any questions for the upcoming week, which is extremely Holy Week, you know, these 2 weeks, absolutely, and then second to the Resurrection week, but all these events that are taking place, you know, and when you read my article about how all this fits in line, you know, everything, I mean, we grew up with so many lies, and not sometimes it's not even a lie or a heresy, but it's just an inaccuracy, and it doesn't lend to the... To the way it actually happened. Go ahead.
The times, Brother Richard.
Mm-hmm.
The times, those 3 days.
Huh?
Noon. And is it 10:45?
Okay. Yeah. Noon time for the exorcism, which is the fifth weekday, and 10:45 for the sixth weekday.
Holy hour is the fifth day.
The holy day. Yeah, holy day is the fifth weekday. Yeah, 12:00. 10:45 on the sixth weekday, seventh weekday, 12:00 for the exorcism.
Noon, 10:45 and noon.
Yeah.
So we're doing the Epiphany. We're going to come together at night then too. Like yeah. Holy day.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Got that. Gotcha.
Yeah. See, and then we moved. Yeah, everything. That's beautiful the way it works.
Yeah, it is.
Our whole calendar and our I already redid the calendar and the Roman Missal. We got the new Old Testament saints. We got 3 Old Testament festivals. We removed everything. We got Old Testament readings coming in a row. Everything is so beautiful. It's just beautiful. God shows you what can happen when He can work with us who have the faith and us who hate philosophy. Right? He says, how could this guy do this without the Greeks and the Romans? Precisely because I don't have the Greeks and the Romans. Your best philosopher is your true philosophy is Catholicism, if you want to use the word philosophy. So your greatest philosopher would have to be pure Christians who don't even study. I hated it. I hated it. They try to teach it to me. The ears. I got doors in here. And God shut the doors. And I went, he's going, I've never spawned, played, and I'm just, I knew what they were full of crap. You know, you see the kids know that, you know. Because when you start talking stupid stuff, they know that. They're not stupid, you know. You sit there and you go, this guy's If you don't know, now what are we talking about here? When you tell me when you know, all right? Come back when you find out what the truth is. And they never do. They think they do. Then another guy's always got to come along and usurp his truth. So his truth is more true than the other truth and makes that truth false. So then his is more false than his, or his is falser than true. Because how can true contradict truth without them both being false, unless one is true and one is false, or both are false? You see? Anyway. I just twisted your heads up on that one. That's the way they talk anyway. It's crazy.
By the way, I got verses on Powerball.
Yeah, I know. We got to get your verses in today, too.
That just happened.
Does it relate to all of that?
Everything you said so far.
Remind me to get that verse. Because I'm not gonna be get this. Some of the stuff I got in here, we could put in there as a lecture. As it normally, a lot of people I think like to hear these off the cuff things. You know. All right. So okay, now we're gonna do Roman Martyrology, Mass Prayers, and after that, I have something that's not meant for. We can record it, but it's not really meant to be going out there in public. Some of this stuff could, but you're. Scripture verse will. And then when he's done, then we'll, yeah. So Brother Bruce is going to hit us with a Bible verse. But throw a Bible at you. I had a Bible thrown at me. Remember? Richie Rich. Big Richie Viking guy. Yeah. 200 pound man. I got so angry. I was like a pillar of stone. He couldn't move me. And I had my hand around his back, my two fingers on his eyeballs, pressing his eyes in. Right? And right, this is right before Mass in the sacristy. And the nun comes back and goes, oh, what's going on? I said, sister, nobody loves Jesus. Nobody here loves Jesus. That's what I'm saying. I says, I'll take my shots like St. Paul, but nobody loves Jesus. And she's all upset. The nun, the priest is going crazy. Stop it, Richie. Let him go. So then it was like, you know, stop. And he says, Richard, pick up your Bible, you know. The guy Richie Rich threw my Bible at me, literally. Yeah. He hit me in the chest with my own Bible because I was preaching the salvation dogma.
Yeah.
No, this is really how this relates, because when I end the book, I'm going to talk about religious indifferentism. And Willie, the guy Wall said in the Inquisition very perfectly and truthfully on that, that when we no longer preach the dogma, we don't rub people the wrong. We want to be friends with them, so we don't want to make persecutions. But when you start preaching the dogma, that's what martyrdom is about, that's what our faith is about, that's when persecution comes, and that's our lot in life when we go out in the world. So I told these people, I know they denied the dogma. I said, Father, I don't want to hear nobody denying the dogma when I'm around. If I hear it in my ears, I got to speak up. So keep it to yourself. So I'm sitting in the back of the rectory, right? And Richie Rich, the big Viking guy, he's a nice guy too. What was that situation anyway? He's talking to Father, it was Fowino, or it might have been, yeah, Father Fowino. And he's going, Father Fowino, you know, like if a Jew or a Muslim or a Protestant gets saved, you know, even though he's not a Catholic, he's still, the church saves him even though he's not in the church. I said, no, Richie, no. No, he's a Jew, he said. He can't be saved. He's got to be inside the church. He's got to be a Catholic. He goes, there you go. I'm sick and tired of hearing from you. He's yelling at me. He says, he picks my Bible. He says, take your Bible and get out of here. He throws my Bible at me, hits me in the chest, falls down. Then he comes at me. I come at him, and I bug him straight, and he couldn't move me, right? And I reach my hand around the back of his head. I got two of my fingers in his eyes. I could have poked his eyeballs out if he would have kept coming at me, but he didn't. And he couldn't move me an inch. Yeah. This guy's 300 pounds. He couldn't even move me an inch. I was, like, so angry.
Yeah.
You know, and this, it's just right before Mass. All the people are sitting there, what, and it's going up to the church. And the nuns liked me. They were called just John the Baptist nuns.
Okay.
And I liked these nuns. They were like your old-fashioned nun.
Yeah.
And she comes running back, and she's harp, oh, what's going on? Please stop it. I said, sister, nobody loves Jesus. Nobody here loves Jesus. I take my shots like St. Paul, but nobody loves Jesus. And then Father Fowino goes, stop, let go. Let's stop. All right? Because I knew then we disengaged.
Yeah.
And then that sister, and then I think the priest Fowino, or the, I think Father Fowino says, Rich, please pick up your Bible, right? So I picked my Bible up and I went, I said, nobody loves Jesus. Yeah. That's it. I says, I don't belong here no more. So, and then that week, the guy told me, what are you doing here? Get out of here. Because I'm going by the Bayside thing, stay in the church and convert them. Don't leave the church. Stay and convert them. The Bayside bullshit, you know, stay in the church. I went, I can't stay. This is like getting crazy. So I always go to the holy hour. So they had Richie Rich. He doesn't go to the holy hour ever. So they know I go. So Richie Rich goes to the Holy Hour. His name was Rich Waltman. And so he went to the Holy Hour, and I said, "Oh, Rich is over there." And he was like, he said, "Rich, I'm sorry." He did. He apologized. I said, "Rich, it's more than that." I says, "Thanks for the apology, but it's more than that." I says, "This is not going to be rectified. Because if you believe what you believe and I believe, it's apologies can't." Yeah, I'm glad he did. He did. But I said, you know, I don't belong. And then God's telling me, get the heck out of here. You don't belong here. Just don't belong here. And that's when I left and went to, that was St. Lucie's. And I went to Father Wickens, who's supposed to hold the dogma. Yeah. So there's a little story. I told that. I don't think I ever recorded it, though, did I?
Yeah,
I recorded that. In which one?
No. First time.
First. Well, there. Yeah. There's another big story. You know, that was at the Mafia Church. We called it in St. Lucie. A lot of your Mafia guys were there, huh?
Dramatic.
Yeah. It was in one of those movies too that in Hollywood they talk. You go, oh, he's trying to make out these Mafia guys to be good. He got real holy. Look, these guys go to St. Lucie, and they had a lot of these Mafia guys in a great choir, all male choir.
Here's a clip from the movie Find Me Guilty. But beware, do not watch this movie unless it's censored.
Right in front of you, ladies and gentlemen, is this Latin motto, whose translation is, "Let justice be done, though the heavens may fall." I have the fate of Carlo Mascarpone in my hands. There he is, sitting near his brother Gino. They didn't join the Lucchese family because they already had one. The family created by Mr. and Mrs. Mascarpone. It's called biology. You'll hear a lot about my client's flamboyant lifestyle. His wife, Rosalind, sits in this courtroom, married 17 years, 4 children. That's a lifestyle. He goes to St. Lucie's Church. His wife teaches CCD. That's a lifestyle. Many of these defendants are related, some are friends or neighbors that have known each other since playing Little League baseball together. That's a lifestyle. They are a family. Not the kind of family the government talks about. They would twist it, they would make it evil. But all we're asking for, ladies and gentlemen, is to let justice be done, though the heavens may fall. Thank you.
Okay. Let's see who's next. Mr. DeNosia. Isn't your attorney here?
Oh, yeah. I think I'm better off.
Say that again.
I want to go pro se. I'm going to be my own lawyer.
Do you know what pro se means?
Sorta.
What do you mean, sorta?
If you defend yourself, it's called pro se. I'm going to defend myself.
Mr. DeNosia, on a case of this magnitude, I don't think it's advisable.
A Sixth Amendment right. I mean, I got the right to defend myself. Am I correct, Judge?
Yes, yeah, you're correct. Have you had any legal experience?
Well, sorta.
What do you mean, sorta?
I've been in prison half my life. Sometimes I think I had too much legal experience.
Mr. DeNosio, have you heard the saying that a man who represents himself has a fool for a client?
Now I have. Is it true, Judge?
Yes, sometimes it is.
So that means sometimes it ain't, right?
Okay.
Thank you, Judge.
I don't think it's advisable. It's up to you. Mr. DeMarshall.
It was a beautiful church. Yeah. Kneeling down at the altar, statues. There was no modern stuff in it, so I loved it. Yeah. But unfortunately, this is what happens, you know?
At the end of this video lecture, I'll have a clip on St. Lucy's Church in Newark, New Jersey.
That's the same church? That's the one where Father Foligno? If I'm recording this, why not? You know, maybe God wants it. Yeah, yeah. No, no, yeah. Yeah, the Jew guy.
Yeah.
So, I was so on fire with the faith, I attended three masses a day. And I was the altar boy. I would get up and I'd also do their lectures. Three a day. Because, I just wanted to camp out in church.
Yeah.
So, at one of the masses, Father Buino's giving out Holy Communion. And this one guy comes up to the altar rail. He nails down and he sticks out his tongue in the most nasty, rude way. Like that. Like that. I went, it's almost like blasphemy, right? And Father Foligno puts the host on his tongue, and he goes, and after Mass, the guy comes in the back and gives him $20, Father Foligno. And then he left. I said, Father Foligno, who is that guy? He goes, he's a Jew. I went, what? He's a Jew? Is he a Catholic Jew? No, he's a Jew. And you're giving him communion? Oh, his wife was a Catholic, and he gives us a lot of money, and he's so pious. You gave this guy Holy Communion, and I was partaking in it, and he's a Jew? Are you kidding me? You got to be out of your mind. You can't give a Jew. The guy, this is sacrilege. And that's the same Father Foligno, who like maybe a month before or something. I'm usually talking about the final days. I said, we're living in the end times. And he goes, we can't be living in the end times. I just bought a car and I got to pay my mortgage payment. And I'm going on a cruise, you know, ship. So we can't be the final day. I said, that's not funny, Father. That's not funny. You're joking about something serious here. This is the way these guys are. And this was the conservative church.
Was that the same one that had your video? You gave him the video? I recorded.
Yes.
Touched by an angel.
Yes. Then I gave Father Foligno a video about my sermon and stuff on the second. I forget what it was. I forget what it was at that time because I wasn't in the monastery yet. But it was a video about second. I don't know about the end times and this it is later on. This happened years later when he was still alive. When I'm gone and I did do the second coming and all that.
Okay.
So I had my friend. I said Father Foligno was still alive. And I went through the mill. I said send Father Foligno the second coming video. So my friend John gave it to him. And then he says, it had my second coming on it. And then Father Foligno goes back to John and says, tell Richard, he says, thanks for the video, but I copied over it and I touched by an angel, which is a blasphemous. Female angels, it's disgusting. He says, tell Richard I taped over it to watch my touched by an angel. He died like within a month after that or two. Yeah. And he died. But this is St. Lucy's Church, right? Yeah. Which is all exterior purposes is very holy, you know, and this is what's going on. I mean, then we had like one black priest from Africa. He was the best priest we had there, and he was a stand-in. You know, he was when the other priest controlled, he'd stand in. I forget his name, but I wish I knew his name and where he is. But he didn't take no crap. When he got up there and he really blasted out some hard teachings from the pulpit, you know, and I was like, wow, this priest is good. He was gone in 1 week back to Africa. Back, because the prisoners.
Yeah.
It's not, they start calling up the bishop, McCarrick head. Anti-Cardinal McCarrick was the head of the whole diocese. And they call him up, and the guy was back in Africa. Two weeks later, he was gone. He was gone. But, I mean, that was my last in St. Lucy's, you know, when we had that big combat with the Bible, that was it. And then that week, God said, just get out of here. You don't belong here.
Brother Richard?
Go ahead.
Hey, quick question. When you were an altar boy, did you do the Latin Mass? Or what type of Mass?
It was a Novus Ordo. English, you know? They did the Novus Ordo as reverently as you can do it. And here's the other thing that happened here. I was an altar boy, too, when I was young, and so I knew the Latin. So I loved it. When I was an altar boy, when I was really young, it was one of the most favorite holy things I can ever do. I just loved it so much. And it was in Latin. That was the Roman Rite, and it was beautiful. But the way St. Lucie's did in Orisoto, it was as reverently as you can have it. Okay? And then when you do a little bit of studying, you know, the altar, they say the altar's got to be, well, no, the altar wasn't always turned around. Sometimes it was facing the people, communion in the hand, and all that. And so they were doing it so reverently, and there was no women on the altar. You had to kneel down, you had to receive on your tongue, because the Italians, the old-time Italian, that was the old-time Italian church, mafia church and Italian people, they didn't go for the new stuff. So they didn't have any of that in there, but they did have the new mass. So I'm in there saying the new mass, which is easy compared to, I mean, it's not as holy for sure, but it was as reverently as you can have it, you know. And you, there, at that time, there's no Latin mass you could even go to that I knew about. Until we went to Father Wickens. And Father Wickens, he did say the Latin, the Roman Rite. I think he did. Because that was my next stop after St. Lucie's, was Father Wickens in the American Legion Hall on the Lord's Day. He had to rent it out and he would say mass there. So I went to him, and then from there I ended up going to the monastery. But this whole thing with the, and they had the statues were beautiful. The church is beautiful. It still is. You can even go online and type in St. Lucie's. But there's different people there. Monsignor Granato was the guy that was running it. And Father Nativo was there. And all your people that spoke Italian would go there. And the Spanish, they'd have Spanish mass. Spanish would go there too. Because Puerto Ricans, they liked the holiness of, the place was really not desecrated or anything. It was beautiful. But there's what's happening with these priests. With these priests. I mean, unbelievable. But that the whole conflict on the salvation dogma, it was even another guy, kid I knew, might have been Richie, or no, it was someone else, a different kid, Carlucci was his name, I forget his first name, but we were talking about if you get saved, and I said, look, even if we die and go to heaven, we still don't know everything because we're not God. He goes, no. He says, if we die, we're going to be just like God. I said, what? Just like God? I mean, exactly like God? We're going to be God? When the church fathers say we're going to become God, what they mean is we're going to become like God. In context, that means we're going to think like God, we're going to act like God, we're going to be holy like God, but we're not going to know everything. We're not going to exactly, you know, be God. But some people believe, and it's a Greek thing, that you're going to be like just like God. I says, we're never going to know everything. We can't because we're not God. And a big fight we had. He was throwing his philosophical bullcrap at me. And then we got into the salvation dogma, and he denied it too. He tried to be a little coy with it because he denied it. And then comes the Richie thing because they know I'm holding the dogma. That's what got me in the most trouble is the dogma. I got kicked out of Immaculate Conception because of the dogma with Father Lodati. I mean, when I told you that story. I got kicked out. Every time I professed the dogma, I was an anathema. At least, you know, better keep quiet. They didn't kick me out because, you know, they let everybody stay. Just don't say anything. And that's why in St. Lucie's, I said, just don't let me hear you say it when I'm around. Because if you say it, I got to say something. Because it's on my part, though, see what I'm committing? Sins of omission. And I did condemn them, but sins of association. Religious communion. I went to mass with these people. I prayed with these people. And I knew they were, see, back then you're going through this and you're learning, you don't have all the teachings and you think, and you're listening to these stupid Bayside things, stay in the church. I didn't really follow Bayside, but there was people there and there was some stuff they said that you would listen to, like, stay in the church and don't leave it. Because if you leave, who's going to be there to convert them? Let's go down to hell. And I mean, let's go into like a porno parlor and at least we're in there and we can convert people while I'm in a porno parlor or a whorehouse. I mean, it's a crazy state, but those are the Bayside people. They had the blue caps, remember? And they'd all kneel. You can't stand or not. And so they went to St. Lucie's, a lot of them, because there was that reverence. Oh, okay. And if you don't stay, that was sort of my mentality. Someone needs to stay here to convert these people. Complete opposite, they were converting me. God said, they're converting you. You're not converting them. Get the heck out of here. You don't belong here. And when I got out of there, whoa, I felt, now I go, next step, Father Wickens. Because I heard he held the dogma. But as I mentioned, I don't know if I recorded it, he never preached it from the pulpit. Father Wickens never preached the dogma from the pulpits. I don't know if I recorded this one either. I don't know. Maybe just God wants me to do it if we're going in a row here, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe. And then we still have time.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, go ahead.
And actually, that's very common in Ireland, especially Gemma O'Doherty. She's very vocal about staying in the church, converted from the inside. So you're saying it's Bayside. That's the origin of this, is it?
Yes. Yes, and she probably knows about it. And it's like Mary said this, but if you look at the Bayside prophecies, there's heresies in there. It's disgusting. You got to look at everything. She's, that's the false Mary. And you're right. I know here it came from Bayside. And if she's saying that, because I know they follow, Gemma probably follows a lot of this stuff, because she's not completely separating from them. So she's believing you got to, because she wants to go to Mass. I genuinely believe maybe you could, but I'm thinking, this is so anti-Catholic thinking, even myself. I should know better than that. You know, but when it got to that fight we had in the sacristy, then God says, this is what it leads to. I said to Richie, this is not, you can, thanks for apologizing, but this isn't going to work. I don't belong here. You know? I don't belong here. So anyway, exit stage left, as Snagglepuss says. Remember Snagglepuss?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Exit stage left. And it was left, not right. I kept making these left-hand turns until I made a right-hand turn to the church, which is where I am right now. So I'm making another left. Yeah.
You're making that left-hand turn.
Right. You're back in the
circle.
So then I heard about Father Wickens. He holds the Salvation Dogma, Father Paul Wickens. And he had that rented out the American Legion Hall, and he would say Mass on the Lord's Day, and he resisted the sex education. He was good on that, too, because before McCarrick, even, they were introducing sex education into the Catholic, nominal Catholic schools. And he that's it. He went nuts. He says, no. So he went out on his own. And now he's a schismatic. He's a rebel. Father Paul Wickens is a rebel. I'm like, no, this guy might be all right. And he liked the St. Benedict Center and the Salvation Dogma. And he did say he believed it. And he probably did. But here's the problem. He never preached it. So I ended up going to his Mass. And he's got one of these, you know, typical traditional kind of Latin Mass. And it was, so it was nice, you know. The only thing, but the beef I got with these traditionalists, too, I got a lot of beefs, okay? But one is you always got to have a suit and tie. That's, well, why? I mean, if I'm not a white-collar worker, why do I need a suit and tie? Our Lord said, do not discriminate between people. If the rich man who's dressed nobly is, and you treat the poor lady in the back less, then this is not right. So I always hated that. And I even had one guy that was a farmer. He says, any priest that doesn't want me to go to Mass in my best overalls, my Lord's Day overalls, I don't go to his Mass. If he doesn't, I got to wear a certain tie. I ain't going to do it because I'm not a blue-collar worker. That's like telling Sal, who drives a truck. That's like, I said, I think Sal driving a truck with a suit and tie. You know, imagine that. He gets out of the truck. He's got a beautiful suit and tie. That's like weird, you know. He's a blue-collar. I hated that. So they made me wear a suit. I went there without a suit and tie. He's got these suit coats in the back and the tie. Big. The suit coat was too big. It's down by my knees. The tie. And I said, okay, all right, I got the suit coat and tie on. Are you happy? So I never liked that. And I never recorded this. I know I told you the story of this before, but I never recorded it. So now I'm going to get Father Paul Wickens. I said it many times, but I don't think I ever recorded it. So I'm going there for a couple months, you know, and I forget how long. It was not real long though, but and I'm not really hearing him preach. He was real friends with Malachi Martin and all that, but. And I would tell him, I says, how could you, Malachi Martin denies the Salvation Dogma. I said, how could you be friendly with him? He said, no, he denies it, but he respects our opinion. I said, but it's not an opinion. It's not an opinion. He said, well, he's friendly towards it. And if he doesn't hold it, he doesn't hold it. Well, he says, I try to teach him and tell him. Look, but now, he's not teaching it in the pulpit, though, right? I'm catching this. He's, you know, he's not preaching the Salvation Dogma from the pulpit. So I knew this other girl, woman, I don't mention her name, I pray for her, I hope she's still alive, you know, but I brought her to the chapel for the first time because she couldn't take it anymore in New Providence, so I was an optician there in New Providence, New Jersey, and I used to go to that church too, and I had to leave that one too, because there's another story. So I brought her over to Father Paul Wickens, and I think it was the first or second time she was there, maybe the first, and but he got up and he gave the first word, said, Abraham and Isaac will be eating in the kingdom of God, whereas you will be cast out into hell. And he's talking to the Jews that didn't believe in him, the Christ-denying Jews. And he says, you Jews that do not believe in me, you're going to see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob eating in the kingdom of God, while you yourselves will be casted out into exterior darkness forever. So I'm waiting. That was his reading,
yeah.
Gospel.
Good.
These Jews are going to hell. And he was afraid to talk about the Jews, too. Because, again, I tell you, the Jew thing is already on me. They all know it. Everywhere I go. And the Italian church, it wasn't too bad. I didn't get hit by it because that was a little more traditional. And even, I figured, you know, Father Wickens didn't mind me so much. He didn't like it, though. He didn't yell at me for it. But he wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
He won't say it. So I'm waiting for him to get up there and say, well, he's talking about Jews who do not believe in Jesus Christ are going to hell. That's what I thought he was going to say. He gets up and he starts talking about some thing that had nothing to do with the Bible verse. And the woman says to me, her first name was Susan, she goes, what did it mean when he says, and you yourself will be cast out in the kingdom, as he's talking about Christ denying Jews? That Jews that don't believe in Jesus Christ are going to go to hell forever, while the faithful Jews, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're going to be in. That's what it means. She goes, thank you. So Father Wicken, right after Mass, comes back because he sees her, and I think, Bobby, the first time we were there, it was Richard who introduced me. Who's it? You know, this is so-and-so. And I said, Father, you know, when you gave that lecture up there and you're talking about casting out the kingdom, that's the Jews that don't believe in Jesus. God, I know. They know what I think about the Jews. And he didn't think that. But they don't want to say it. This is Gary Potter and all these people again. So I said, you know, that's the Jews that don't believe in Jesus. How come you didn't say that? They're the ones that go, he goes, they're the ones that are going to hell. And he says, well, you know, Richard, it's like when you visit your grandmother and she has an apple pie and you don't like it. You know, you don't say anything because you don't want to offend her. That's what he said to me. I said, we're not talking about apple pie. We're talking about dogmas and eternal salvation. You saw, yeah, true, you know, I agree. You don't want to offend your grandma unless it really stinks, you know, or you get sick on it. Okay, we're not talking about apple pie, Father. That's what I said to him. I said, we're talking about dogmas. And that was another shot right in my heart. That was it for him. I'm looking elsewhere. Diamond Brothers. That's when I went to the Diamond. That was my last stop before the Diamond Brothers. Well, the other...
Hello, Richard.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. You mentioned Malachi Martin there. I think you said in the lecture before he actually approached you about something. Am I correct in that?
Yeah.
He actually came to you about...
Yeah, when I was out here in New Mexico, northern New Mexico, I don't know how he got my phone number, but he called me. I had a short conversation with him, and I condemned him for denying the salvation dogma, but he was flattering me. Oh, the Hungarian people are so smart, and we had this Hungarian guy I know, and I says, you know, we're living in the final days. He agreed with that, but then I hit him on the salvation dogma, and he was trying to make excuses on it. And I just couldn't wait to get off the phone. So I said, I know he's not accepting the salvation dogma. I said, and he's flattering me. I went, I'm wasting my time here. So he tracked me down. You know, a lot of people knew what I was called to do, but they're thinking either some God or the devil. What I'm thinking is they knew God called me to do this, but they think I went bad, and so I blew the mission. It's all over, you know. But there's a little interlude to this. When I was going to St. Lucie's, another guy was there, Father Dante DiGirolamo, and he was really kind of conservative guy, and he would go to St. Lucie's too, but he was in Kearney, New Jersey, where they had the seminary students. Yeah, and I never recorded this one, so I'm going to record that too. So it was Kearney, New Jersey, and the seminary students, and he was the Marian movement of priests. Now, you guys probably heard this before, but I want it on the record. So he invites me over to Kearney, New Jersey, to the what was the center called? Retreat Center.
Yeah, it was Retreat Center.
And he would have a Marian movement priest where all the people, and he'd be the head of it, and it was Father Goldie. That's how I found out Father Goldie was a bum. So when I go there, before he has his session, I get there early, I'm sitting in the church, and he wanted me to go there because he knew I was called. He had sympathy for me. He really did. After that, even after the event, but that was later on. He knew that God was called. They knew that God was calling me to be something. So he's figuring. But you know, they were very uncomfortable about wanting me to be a priest because they knew that if I'm going to expose them.
Yeah.
He knew it. They knew it. So he was testing me. And so here's what happened. I went there in the church, and he knew right before. And he said, "Wait in the church till I have my meeting." The seminarian students came out, and they were on the altar. And they all got around in a circle with guitars. Yeah, and this kind of music they were playing doesn't belong there. And they're going, like the Michael Roll Your Boat Ashore crap, you know? And they look like faggots, you know? They go, I went, I said, these, no way. No way. No way. And they're probably waiting to see how I'm going to handle that. I said, if you want me to be a priest in the seminary, two things are going to happen. Either I die or they all die. And I kill every one of them. Probably I kill every one of them because a little facts. I mean, not too hard to kill that. Okay. So either you want them all dead? No. Okay. Then you don't want me to be a priest. Yeah. See, because I got to kill them all. And, you know, I can't have nobody like that in here. But I'm sitting here. I said, no way. No way. Faggy priests with their guitars, like hippies, you know. I no way. Then right after that, he has his Marian movement of priests, where they all sit around in a circle. And this is how I found out about Father Wickens. This is interesting, anyway. And probably shortly after that, we had the big conflict with Richie. So he's sitting around the Marian priest movement, and they're all talking to Father Gobi. He says, we're living in the final days, you know, God is angry, Mary's holding his hand back. She's been holding his hand back, I don't know how long now. Mary's hand must be getting tired, you know? He's coming down! He's coming down! Oh! He's coming down! Oh! And Gobi would say, oh, there's an apostasy in the church. He was pretty bold before he Gobi, right? But don't ever talk about who.
Yeah.
Don't use names. Don't say, like for instance, who? Like maybe the poop in Rome, you know? Well, I still believe he was a pope, even though I knew he was a bastard. So, he's talking about it, and I said, for instance, let's take a look at, because he's talking about the priests, you know, how bad, there's bad priests, there's clerics are bad, the church. So I said, that's good. So I said, yeah, like for instance, Father Dante, I said, look at John Paul II, what he's teaching. I said, this is horrible. He's one of the bad priests or, you know, evil priests that, oh, no, Richard. We don't talk about anybody by name. We don't condemn anyone. We don't denounce anybody by name. I said, yeah, but wait a second. Golby's telling us we got all these bad priests, we got all these bad bishops, and I can't tell you who they are? Does that make sense? No. What is it, Casper the Ghost? Who's committing the crimes?
I got
pissed off. Right there. I went, there's something not right about this. If I can't talk about it, listen. And then right when I'm saying that, another woman says, you know, Father, I think Richard's right. And you know, sort of what he's saying here. For instance, he says, you know, Father Wickens opposed the sex education thing that McCarrick brought in, and the predecessor to McCarrick even, brought in, and he was pointing out evil they were for the sex education thing. And then all of a sudden Dante goes, don't mention that guy's name, Father Wickens. He says, she's trying to praise him, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, that guy was an apostate, he's a schismatic, I don't want you to mention his name. And she was like not condemning him, she was praising him.
Yeah, right.
And all she was saying was he opposed to sex education. She went nuts. She's saying that Wickens, and he's saying this about Wickens.
Yeah.
That Wickens is a schismatic, he's a rebel. I went, hey, Father, I thought you're not allowed to talk about anybody.
Yeah.
Is that what I said?
Yeah.
I said, Father, he got so, his face got red. I said, Father, I thought you're not allowed to talk about anybody. Hey, but he's a rebel. He left, he opened up. That's how I knew about it. This is the first time I heard about Father Paul Wickens. So like a couple weeks later, that Richie Rich thing happens, and I'm going to Wickens Chapel.
Yeah.
But see the city hypocrisy?
Oh, yeah.
That was it. That was my first and last time I went to the retreat center, the first and only meeting of the Father Gobi meeting.
Yeah.
They sit around in a circle and talk about lovely stories, you know? Read some of his quotes about these evil priests, but you can't mention them. And he tells, oh, no, you can't, nobody by name here. Oh, Father Wickens, he went nuts on the guy.
Yeah, I
tell you, these guys are worse than mafia.
You
think I'm joking? I'm not.
Yeah.
They lie more than anybody ever lied in my whole life that I've ever lived, that I've ever seen. I hate nothing worse than these pious, hypocritical, effeminate little faggy people. Hate them with a perfect hatred.
Richard.
Yeah.
Was Father Wickens the priest you said before you had a dream about him after he died?
Yes.
Was that the same guy?
That's good. So I'm glad Dermot brought that up. I forgot about it. Yeah. And I said that in one of my lectures, too. That one's recorded. I'm going to say it here. I forget when it happened, but exactly. But I've seen several people that are in hell. He's one of them. And so what happened, I get this dream. I'm sitting at the end of the table. And I don't know who it was at first, but there's a priest at the other end of the table. And his back is facing me. So he's facing his back, and I can't see his face. But I know who he was. It's weird. And I said, is that you, Father Wickens? And he went, I think he said yes. He can say yes. Yeah, me. I said, are you in hell? And he went, no. I said, you're in hell, aren't you? Don't lie to me. Are you in hell? He went, yes. And I said, yeah. Well, okay. And with your
the cedar band.
Yeah, yeah. He mentioned something about I'm in the cedar band.
Right.
That's that. There's different levels in hell. See, you're my memory. Will remembers things about me more than I do. He's got a good memory. He's like my little memory bank. He says, I'm in the cedar band. And I looked that up. I'm looking at the heat that cedar wood gives off. And it's equation to how hot the place is. So the cedar band. And that's what he said. I'm in the Cedar Band, and he mentioned where he was, and because there's levels in hell. Hell's in the center of the earth, and there's layers, like circular layers, levels. And the lower you go, the hotter it gets. And the higher you go, it's not as hot. And he said he was in the Cedar Band. And what I take that to mean is that when you look at the heat that cedar wood gives off when you burn it, as opposed to other kinds of wood. And, you know, anyway, and he couldn't lie. I said, you're not in heaven. I said, you are in hell. I said, don't lie to me. In the name of Jesus Christ, I invoke. Tell me where you are. He says, yes, 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 I'm in hell. Now, so we got the Dante thing. Then I go over, and then right after that, too, when I found out about Wiccans, that incident happened with Richie, so I said, I'm going to go to this rebel priest, who's not afraid to speak up, because he's not with them anymore. And then I went with him, and I just told you a story about him, after the Jew thing, where he didn't say that the Jews are in hell with that woman I was with. That was my last mass with him. I said, the apple pie thing. I said, that's it for you. You're comparing the Salvation Dog with apple pie? You don't want to say the Jews are in hell, and he never would talk against the Jews. I told him, why don't you ever talk about evil Jews? It was weird, the J word. They're so afraid to talk about the Jews. So then I went down to Most Holy Family Monastery also, which is supposed to be very traditional, even more than Wiccans, and then that's why I go down there. But I'm going to talk about that now. I'll talk, maybe one day I'll talk more about what happened down there. I talk somewhat about what happened over there. But that's when I went down there, and Brother Joseph Natal was there, Michael Diamond, and John Veneri just left, and they would have all these conferences. And I was already invited to these conferences. By the way, when I went there, I think what first happened when I was going to Father Wiccans, by the way, I was already being invited to the conference down there, but I wasn't going to Mass there. But after the Wiccans thing, I says, I'm moving there. I'm going. I'm going to become a monk. I'm going to be holy. I'm going to go down to this monastery. I'm getting out of here. But I already knew about them, and I think I already may have given a lecture. Mystical Body of Christ Crucified when I was going to Father Wiccan's chapel. I already gave that first one, and maybe the conversion of the Jews, because I wasn't really living down there. So my first two lectures were Mystical Body of Christ Crucified and then the conversion of the Jews. And so I gave those when I was attending Wiccan's chapel, and I was going to her conferences and all that. And then after that incident with Wiccan's, I said, I'm not even going here no more. I'm going to just move down there and as a monk. Because I figured these are the most traditional. And then they were associated with Father Brunner, Howard Walsh, the big financier of the Jesuits and of helping the monastery there. Now, this guy, Howard Walsh, no doubt this guy's a Freemason, right? Big, fancy, rich guy. I'm not against riches if you use it the right way. But to show you how this guy's evil, his company, which he made all his money on, he called it Accurate Screw. Accurate Screw. Now, he made screws and bolts. Yeah. I mean, you call your company Accurate Screw? I mean, and you're a Catholic? Yeah, you can call it something else, like Assorted Screws, or yeah, not even screws, you know, that's even, you know, I mean, some kind of a word, but Accurate Screw? Yeah. You know what he was saying to everybody? I'm screwing you. You know? Yeah. You guys are getting, by him.
Yeah.
He's a long story on that. I told you a story at Pequana Chapel, and I didn't probably record that neither. I can be here forever.
Yeah. Fireside chats with Richard Brown.
Oh, you know, I will. Stop it for 2 seconds and I'll come back. Oh, you know why I lost my shirt? A Jew just came in and took the shirt right off my back.
Yeah.
Anyway, the thing on Father William Ashley in the Pequannock Chapel, Our Lady of Guadalupe Chapel in Pequannock, New Jersey. You got to listen to that too. And I already did that, so I'm not going to do that here. It's in the Fear of the Jews. I highly recommend you listen to that video, Fear of the Jews, and you'll see what went on with Howard Walsh and all that, and Our Lady of Guadalupe Chapel in Pequannock, New Jersey. Father William Ashley is the one that took over the Berlin Monastery when away from Michael Diamond, and when we were going to court on that. And he formed his own traditionalist group. I forget what it was called. I don't know if he still has or if he's even still alive. But he was another. They were all, you know, and he was supposed, you know, it's Latin Mass and all that. He was a lot of that. He started his own order. But I go over that in Fear of the Jews. So this might be just, there's nothing, that might be it, I think. I'm trying to think if there's any other. Maybe one day, I won't do this now, but it'd be like what happened when I got into the monastery, which is a long thing.
You talk about the old covenant, old schmoven before I
mean, oh, that was interesting. Yeah, I did that somewhere. Where was that in?
Up in
Yeah. Did I record that somewhere? Well, like, old covenant, old schmovenant. Yeah. When I went up to the SSP 10 Chapel in Idaho, Post Falls, Idaho. Yeah, when I went with our Vidi in the cast bars. Did I ever record that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
If so.
Probably. Yeah. I think he did.
Don't you guys remember talking about the SSB 10 priest and I was condemning Lefebvre? I called Lefebvre a heretic and he went nuts. I know I said it. Did I ever record it?
Isn't that Richard?
Yeah.
Isn't that when that lady, when you told that lady about, you're talking about the old covenant and that lady said something about old covenant, old covenant?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I recorded that one already, didn't I? Sal? Or did I just say it?
I think you did. I think you said it in one of your lectures.
One of my lectures. I forget which one, but, you know, one thing I'll get the whole sequence together one day. But basically, we're saying what happened here. When God first started converting me, I went back to Sacred Heart Cathedral, back into the Norris Auto. That was the first place I went with Archbishop McCarrick. McCormick was one of the bishops, but the Archbishop was McCarrick. He wasn't a cardinal, anti-cardinal yet. Bishop Saltarelli was there, Italian bishop. He was the more conservative one. And I was writing them letters back and forth. I mentioned a lot about that and the Jews and all the David Fedor. So I'm at Sacred Heart Cathedral. Then when that anti-cardinal from Rome came.
Cassidy?
Was it Cassidy? Yeah. Wielder? What was his name? Was it Wielder? Cassidy.
Cassidy, right.
Anti-cardinal Cassidy.
No, that's,
I mentioned, so I leave there. Right. So then I went to Immaculate Conception, and that's when Father Lodati denied the dogma and said the pious Jew can go to heaven. And that was it. When I was preaching the dogma, well, you mean to tell me a pious Jew can't go to heaven? No, Father, you can't. He's not pious because he don't believe in Jesus and he can't go to heaven unless he's a Catholic. Yeah. Oh, no, Richard, that's not what the church teaches. So that's when I left that church. The tree fell down that very day and he got a heart attack the very day. Anyway, I didn't leave right away. I think I stayed a little bit longer when the church was rebuilt, because he's had a heart attack. Mm-hmm. So he's gone. I figured, and then I dealt with Monsignor Seymour, who's the right-hand man of McCarrick. And I told you about that story, when they wanted him to pray for a dead Jew who was not a Catholic, in Mass, as if he's saved. I wouldn't do that. That's when I left there. I told my story many times, and I said, I'm going to pray for this guy. He's a Jew. He didn't die as a Catholic. I said he's not a Catholic. He's a Jew. He gives us a lot of money and all that. So I left the Immaculate Conception. I went to St. Lucie's. I worked from St. Lucie's to Father Wickens and Father Wickens to the most unholy family monastery in Berlin, New Jersey. And then I went from there. Then I went into the other city of the contest groups that I was telling you about. So it's, what a journey. Yeah, totally. Wow. We all have our stories. Yeah. I'm sure all are, in one way or another, we all have our stories. But that was a little more of addendum to some stuff that I don't think I ever recorded. And then with the other stuff, you have to listen to some of my other lectures to get that. Any questions, though? Anybody on what that was going on there?
Brother?
Yeah.
The thing about the Spokane CMRI, that's a refutation.
Oh yeah.
Refutation meaning.
Yeah, that's where it is. Yeah. My trip to the SSB 10 and the CMRI.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. As a sign up, Brother Phil was saying, if you want to find out what happened to me I visited the CMRI and people up there. And big discussion on the salvation dogma with two of these guys. And they kept saying, oh, no, no. He says, his big thing was, you can never say, because people, when they die, they can convert on their deathbed. I went, fine, I agree. People can convert on their deathbed. I'm talking about a Muslim who dies. Now, if you guys wonder why I always say it like this, somebody who dies and goes through a particular judgment is a non-Catholic, cannot be saved. They're damned. Dies and goes through a particular judgment. And why do you think I say that? Because God can raise people from the dead. And if he raised somebody from the dead, that means they didn't go to their particular judgment. Because once you go to your particular judgment, it's all over. You'll never be resurrected. You know? Because Hebrews 9:27 or Romans 9:27 is appointed unto men once to die and after this the judgment. Once to die and after this the judgment. So you can die and be resurrected, but if you go to your particular judgment, that's the final sentence. So I said to him, okay, a Muslim who dies can be resurrected, convert on his deathbed. You don't know about it, but he has to believe in the Catholic Church. He has to come into the Catholic Church, have the Catholic faith. Yes, that guy, if he converts on his deathbed or miraculously after he dies, he's resurrected in God. Yes. I said, but what I'm talking about, a Muslim, he dies, goes to his particular judgment as a Muslim, not as a Catholic. Can he be saved? Oh, we can't say yes or no. We can't say, that's, you're a heretic. I said, now you're a heretic. You're, now, I said, what's left? I said, are you then telling me Muslims are in heaven? And he refused to say. We can't judge, we can't say. I said, I'm not talking about any particular Muslim, like Joe Muslim, a Muslim. I'm not saying Muhammad Ali or whatever. I'm saying a Muslim dies and goes to particular judgment as a Muslim, not a Catholic. Can he be said? We don't know. We cannot say. We cannot judge. Well, then you're a heretic.
No, exactly.
And you're telling me Muslims are in heaven.
No.
And he kept twisting my arm. I said, I agree that they convert on their dad. Teach they come. This is, I say, if they don't go to their particular judgment as a Catholic, as a member, as one of the faithful, they're damned. That's the dogma. But you know, these guys want everyone in heaven. That's what they want. I'm already telling you that, yes, what more do you want from us? You know what they want? Universal salvation.
Yeah.
That's what they want. Universal salvation. You want, basically. Yeah, that's the kind of heaven that the Baysiders are talking about. Medjugorje was talking about when the Blessed Mother said there's Muslims in heaven. And mosques in heaven. And God's happy with the Muslims and the mosques. See this? How it all connects? So when I went to CMRI, with Kaspar, I went up there, and we confronted an SSP 10 person in Post Falls, Idaho. Man, they nailed his that bum's behind. That guy was so bad. That's the old covenant, old Shmovenant thing. Go ahead.
What purpose would there be to be a Catholic? Why would you be any different than just all the rest?
Today, I decided my last chapter in the Salvation Dogma book is going to be titled, Religious Indifferentism is the Result of the denial of the salvation dogma. Religious indifferentism. What we're saying is, and here's what I'm saying, the whole focal point of the great apostasy with the desecrations and the idols was to get to the point where they can say that you can be saved without being a member of the Catholic Church. That's the whole focal point of the devil. That dogma is the linchpin of everything. Once you get to the point where you're starting to preach that, then people could be saved in all other religions, and we can then respect their religions. Because if a Muslim could be saved as a Muslim, their religion must not be hurting them. Maybe it's not helping them, but it's not hurting them. So it leads us into a tremendous abyss of religious indifferentism, where all religions get melded down. Why be Catholic if you don't need to be Catholic to be saved? It's a repudiation of Jesus Christ and the whole Catholic Church in one swoop, and you deny the salvation dogma. And that guy, William Walsh, even though he's an apostate, wrote correctly on it, on a quote I gave you. I'm going to end my book with his quote. He's, when we no longer preach the dogma and tell people the hard lessons of Catholicism, and because we want to be accepted in society, and we got to question whether we're Catholic or not. That means we're not Catholic. The stuff that martyrs are made of and Catholics are made of, we're going to get blowback. We're going to get persecuted. We're going to be hated. And when you preach that salvation dogma, the way you're supposed to preach it, there comes the hatred, there comes the... Even TJ was just talking about, Brother TJ was in an Irish pub this week with some priest that he ran into, and they were playing music, and he went out to have a smoke or something, and he told the priest that about the poop, Francis, and the priest got really angry, and he said after that, he said the priest was giving him the evil eye all night. See what I mean? Now, if TJ didn't say, you don't always have to witness to everybody. We don't. We don't throw our pearls to swines. But when it occurs and it comes up, we do witness. And they can tell even by our... So that's the end result. I thought about it. I said, you know, really, it's the salvation dogma. Think about it. If I preached every dogma in the world, but I said, guess what? I now told you about the Immaculate Virginity, Ever Virgin Mary. I told you about the Holy Trinity. I told you about Jesus Christ as God and man, the deepest dogmas of the Holy Trinity. I taught you about the Holy Eucharist, body and blood under the appearance of bread and wine. I taught you all these beautiful, deep things. And I says, but guess what? You don't need to believe in that to be saved. You don't even need to be a member of the church to be saved. You can still go to heaven without all of that stuff I just told you. And that's what the denial of the salvation dogma does. It is the mortal blow. It is a denial of Jesus Christ. Because now you got the Jew even. They tell you. You see? The guy, what was it? Pigius. The pig, Pigius. Albert Pigius in the 16th century, 1500s. Or was it Pigius? It was Pigius, yeah. And then also the other guy, too. What was his name? Pigius and the other guy, the famous guy that the Diamonds always called. Lugo. It saves my memory. Lugo. A Jew who denies Christ and even hates Christ can implicitly be a Christian and be in a way of salvation, even though he doesn't know it. Because you don't need to be a member of the Catholic Church. They got this implicit baptism, this implicit faith. That's how I'm going to end. Pray, brothers, that I end this just the way I want to end it. As I'm talking to you right now, and I can even take these words out and put it in there. That's how I'm going to end the whole book. Because that's the whole goal of that, is to deny the whole Catholic Church. Really, think about it.
Yeah.
What are we teaching? Why are you teaching me all these things? I've been born as a Lutheran. Lutheran is the best thing you could have been hoped for, because a Lutheran, you just got to believe in Jesus, and you're going to heaven. Muslim, you can go to hell. If you're a Muslim, they tell you, you can go to hell. If you're an Orthodox Jew, unorthodox Jew, they can tell you, you can go to hell. If you're a Viking, a pagan Viking, you can go to their hell. They had their, what was the word for hell?
Valhalla.
No, Valhalla was heaven. Viking heaven, but they have a word for hell. And the Romans, pagan Romans, had a role for heaven and hell. So if you're a pagan Roman, you're fearful of something. If you're a Lutheran, just believe in Jesus, you're going to heaven. There is no, you're not going to go to hell. You're guaranteed, you see. And these other religions, you're not guaranteed. Even pagan religions, you're not guaranteed. The denial of the salvation dogma is the denial of the whole necessity of the Catholic Church and all our dogmas. You mean all the stuff that these martyrs fought and wrote and the fathers died for? Casting people out and saying they're going to hell, this was all a lie? And then now all these people that were supposedly in hell, like Origen or in heaven? Origen! Condemned in 4 or 5 ecumenical councils by 6 popes, infallibly condemned in the ecumenical councils. Leo XIII says he was a great and holy man. Yeah. See what we're talking about, folks? What's the point? Hey, Leo, get off the throne. What are you, just like giving me opinions? Or I give a shit about what you're talking about? You're just like a social club. You're even a hypocrite. I don't need to believe in you. I'll smack you 10 times silly to the Lord's day. 10 times silly, up, down, out. What is going on?
Yeah.
Salvation dogma.
Yep.
And I just found out recently, too, I don't want to get into this now, but the new St. Benedict Center under Brother Andre, they deny the dogma now.
Whoa,
yeah. Man. He prayed 10 times he's not. He said, does that mean people that are invincibly ignorant of the Catholic Church can't be saved? There's no way. He says, no, it doesn't mean that. And I just got on and read their new thing that he put out there. Yeah. And he's trying to say, but they need to have faith, but they can be ignorant. So how can you have faith if you're ignorant? I don't want to go too deep on it because I don't give a crap about them.
Yeah.
But all I'm telling you, how that slippery slope is, that one, he's staying in with that church. He's getting what he deserves. Mm-hmm. And you know what he's doing? He's defending his Stichi Corporis, where there are heresies in there, and that's why he fell. Because he's trying to be more orthodox than even Maloof was. So he's trying to say, no, Maloof does say that. It couldn't happen. Yeah. One thing he is correct about, though, he did say his thing about baptism of water, like I believe, in sacramental baptism, absolutely, he said it's only a theological opinion. Feeney said it was a dogma. So he's right about that, you know, and so that's one good thing. But add to the other thing, which is very horrible, religious indifferentism. That's what got me kicked out of, and the Jews. When you're professing the salvation dogma, too, you're condemning people. Not just Jews, but the Jews are the ones that no one talks about anymore. But he's saying, say to a Muslim, you ain't going to be too happy. Say to a Protestant, you know. So sometimes, like I see to the Protestants, look, that one kid we sat down and we're talking to him, the Southern Baptist in town here, and he was the second in charge or something in church, and Rule and I are going to meet him. I says, look, before we begin our discussion, I says, my religion teaches that you guys are in a false religion and you're on the road to hell. You can't be saved where you are. I says, and your religion teaches that, you know, we're papists and we're heretics and we're going to hell. Oh, no. He goes, we don't teach that. I said, no, look. Please, I'd rather have you say that to me. Because that's honest. I mean, then we can talk. If you don't say that, I can't talk to you. We're at odds. I'm not, you know, now let's sit down and talk. And we did. We sat down and talked. He was in shock. I said, go call me the heretic. Call me the papist. At least you're being honest. I mean, don't tell me. No. He says, we're all the same. No, we can pray together and all this. He was disappointed. And they threw the verse like grace alone. We were going at the dogmas. We did have a pretty good discussion, you know. I mean, but you got to set them straight.
Yeah.
And then he started looking at you a little different. Where did he come from?
Yeah.
He came from the Middle Ages. He came from the Dark Ages.
Yeah.
No, he came from the Dark Ages. Yeah. That's when the papacy was actively holding that you had to be a member of the church to be saved, you know? Like that one Jew said, you know, back in the time of Father Coughlin and all that, that's when the Jew, the Catholic Church, was actively anti-Semitic. When they were condemning Christ denying Jews, now they don't do that anymore. They don't condemn anybody but us. And Hitler. Yeah. Excuse me, Hitler. He's the one that takes all the heat.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's all
he's the one that takes all the heat. And anybody of us who judge and condemn.
Right.
In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, amen. That's our lecture today, then. All right, so... Yeah.
A child was born to save.